Into the car!
Activate time circuits!
We're going back!
To the future?
To the Ice Age!
Wow!
Thanks, Scott! No!
Hang on!
Go back to the future. At Universal Studios, Florida.
It's the greatest fire the universe has seen, Lois! Great Scott!
To whom it may concern, I'm not saying that you're my mother, or anyone's mother, or that I'm your son. I'm just some random dude, not violating any restraining order, just writing to a person who I would wish would write back to me. No specifics, nothing legally binding, or could be used in a court. We don't want to get courts involved, do we, random woman? We don't want to get police involved, do we, random woman? Look, I'm just a guy trying to watch a movie, trying to reconnect with people, a person. I'm not saying who, but I just thought maybe writing letters and sealing the envelopes with my tears was a wonderfully loyal and loving thing to do. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know, but please, random person, let's not get the authorities involved in this. Just a couple of fun-loving, smart, harmless, and legal and above board and not violating anything. That's who I am. And I wish you could see that. Signed, Anonymous, March 11th, 2021.
Marty McFly, Marty McFly, Marty McFly is Marty McFly, Marty McFly is Marty McFly.
It's Marty McFly, it's Marty McFly.
Every day in March I'll be doing the same thing, watching my favorite movie.
Friday night, there's a good chance that I'd be home on a Friday night podcasting, even if there wasn't a pandemic. Hello, everybody, and welcome to day 12. They said it couldn't be done. Well, most of them said they didn't even know it was happening. But here we are, 12 days into the month of March. and 12 days into the adventure of a lifetime with Marty McFly and Back to the Future. Today was a little different for me. I didn't get up early before work and watch Back to the Future. In fact, I didn't start it until I had breakfast, and I didn't get very far in it. And then I watched a little more at lunch, got a little further, and then I didn't watch it again. I didn't finish it until like after 8 o'clock at night. That's the devil's hour. They always say nothing good ever happens after 8 p.m. I'm sure I've talked about it before in this podcast, but 8 p.m., I'm going to go off on a tangent. 8 p.m. to me means like nighttime. And it has nothing to do with like how tired you are, or like there's no classification. Like, why is 8 p.m. considered nighttime? 7 p.m., you know, early evening, but 8 p.m. is nighttime. And it all has to do with growing up around television. You know, 7 o'clock is when things started to unwind. Mother and father would watch Wheel of Fortune, followed by Jeopardy. And then 8 p.m. would come around, and it was nighttime. This was like, you're already in your PJs, and you're ready for bed, but you want to watch Elf, or you want to watch Family Ties. That, to me, is why 8 p.m., still to this day, if I hear from people after 8, I'm like, well, I'm not going to call them after 8 p.m. That's crazy. That's absolutely insane. And that was the tangent of the day. But I'm not here to talk about Family Ties as much as I love Alex P. Keaton as much as the next person. I'm not even sure what I'm saying now, but I do know that I'm here to talk about Back to the Future, and I'm here to talk about notes. Did I take more notes? I did. I took more notes today. I'm sure some of them I've said before, but you know what? You're already here. It's too late. I already got your money. You already paid your subscription fee. You have been paying your subscription fee, haven't you? It updates automatically, so don't check your bank statements. They're fine. One thing I noticed was Doc has a past due bill in his garage. You know, he talked about the fact that it took most of his life and all of his family fortune to realize the dream of the DeLorean. Maybe the burning down of the house was the best thing that could happen to him, because he burnt down the house trying to build the time machine early? No, because he didn't have... Well, I guess he had the money because he had a family fortune. But then he sold all that land and got so much more money. Doc, don't forget, no matter what you think, Doc is loaded. He's loaded enough to pay off cops. So that he's loaded enough to have all that wire. Where did that wire come from? He bought it with his money because he has lots of it. But in the future, he used most of it, if not all of it, to, you know, build a lead-lined, nuclear-powered, time-traveling DeLorean. That's why he lives in a garage. He probably sleeps nights in that van, too. That truck there. Did I see, like, shirts hanging up in there? I'd love to get inside that truck. I wonder if there's any set photos of that in there. But in the future, in the 1985 present, when they're panning through and showing the coffee pot and the Calcan. Remember Calcan? That was a real food. Apparently he didn't care that much about dog nutrition. But in the 80s, I don't think they talked about fancy dog nutrition all that much. They would feed dogs shit like Calcan. But there's a bill there, which tells me that he's not really focusing on bills. He's not focusing on life. I mean, the place is a mess. There's Burger King wrappers everywhere. He is just solely focused on getting the hell out of 1985 and making sure he can do it as quickly as possible, because he doesn't want those Libyan terrorists to show up and shoot him. That would be bad. So yeah, I thought that was a That was a. I wrote that down and look how much I got out of it. See, all it takes is one line to get me talking. I wrote, "How much do you want, Biff?" Why did I? Oh, a couple things about Biff, our friend Biff Tannen. I didn't look up any notes on Thomas F. Wilson, but when I found out that he does like comedy, and when you hear him or see him outside of Biff, he is this like, he seems like this cheerful, happy, funny, like positive guy. He's just so synonymous with all three Back to the Futures that, you know, he obviously played Biff great. He even old Biff, I thought, was pretty good in the future. You know, I know it's not about this movie, and the old West Biff was a lot of fun too. Hey, Griff, you know, we'll talk about that more next year. I'll table that for next year when we hit Hydrate Level 4. But I wrote, "How much do you want, Biff?" It was interesting because George, you know, Biff is the bully. Biff is the a-hole. Biff is the sexual assaulter almost. He's, you know, he is like, he grabs Lorraine and he's like, "You want it. You know you want it. You just don't know you don't know, you don't want me to give it to you." I swear I've used that line now jokingly with the woman of my dreams, my wife, and she, you know, it never worked. She rolls her eyes at me and, you know, I don't even think she knows what I'm referencing, which is even creepier. I don't know what the F I'm talking about. But my point is that even with Biff being a complete jerk and George being afraid of him because they're bigger than him and giving in to the bully and doing stuff for him, there's still a little bit, I don't know if it's backbone or just pissed offedness, which isn't a word, from George. You know, at the cafe at the beginning, he's like, "You don't want me to get kicked out of here, would you?" And George like thought about it. He's like, "Well, yeah, I would. Would you? Well, no, Biff, obviously not." And then later on, he at the calf, you know, he's like, "How much money do you have, McFly?" And he's like, "Well, how much do you want, Biff?" And you could hear it two different ways. He's almost saying, you know, "Hey, I'll give you anything you want," but it seemed like there was a little bit of wise assedness there. Again, I just love making up these words. And, you know, when he finally was at the dance and he confronted Biff, remember, he threw the first punch. That takes some balls. He didn't react. He acted. He was proactive. And I'm trying to think, did Biff punch anybody? In this, he almost broke George's arm. He shoved Lorraine, which pissed me off, got me very angry. And that is what got George angry. Like the look in his eyes, the fear turning to like completely like, "I can't believe this is happening," to fired up rage, McFly rage. It just, the switch was flipped and that's when he knocked Tannen out. But even at the calf, in the cafeteria, you know, they push each other. They both put the hands up, no punches. Then at the calf, Marty trips him, very mean. And then Marty punches him. Now, obviously, then Biff goes on to try to murder Marty with his automobile, but I don't think Biff throws a punch in this movie. He's the one who, he gets punched twice. Well, yeah, the first time George doesn't actually connect, so twice. He gets manure dumped on him. He's definitely the bully, and he's definitely the villain, but I just thought it was interesting that, you know, he doesn't actually punch anybody in this. I wrote down a note, you know, thankfully rotary phones were still a thing in 1985. The payphone that Marty uses, first of all, again, the Klondike number, I wouldn't know what to do with that. But he at least, whatever, he figured it out. If there was a kid today who went back to 1955, he wouldn't even think to use a phone book, let alone a payphone, let alone a rotary dial payphone. There was a video on the internet a few years ago where this dad had showed his kids, or his kid and his friend, or whatever it was, I think it was his son's, a rotary telephone, and asked them to try to place a call and how to use it. And I mean, it seemed like legit, and the kids had no idea. It was pretty funny. And I just think about that, like, if you're a certain age, like from 50 to 80, styles change, some technology change, but basic day-to-day living wasn't that different. From then to here, it's changed a lot with internet and with, you know, personal electronics and all these things. But again, you know, like 55 to 85, it's like little things. It feels bigger when you're there. Like, oh my God, it's the 50s. But if you look now, you think, oh my God, it's the 80s. And it's like, well, it's not that different. Oh, so all the stuff about George, you know, Biff being, you know, the bully. I still thought, and oh, he's an idiot. You know, like he needs to use, he gets the puns wrong. He needs to use George to do his homework. And yet, how does Biff become George's supervisor? Is George so beaten down that Biff kind of steps on the little people and uses them to rise up and become the supervisor? That, you know, like how did he get that far? I just thought that was interesting. I wrote down, it's still Saturday. I think I talked about this already. But the other day I was saying it was Sunday. I keep forgetting that the Saturday that he went back was at 1 a.m. So when he woke up, it was still Saturday. And Dave was going into the office on a Saturday. Okay. He always goes to the office on a Saturday. What else have I think I talked about this already. There was a Game of Life by the TV in 1985. Why did I write that down? And if I already talked about it again, why would I talk about it again? I was like, oh, look, Marty actually literally played the Game of Life. Like he had to do things to actually affect his life. So maybe that was there as a little Easter egg. I don't know. Also, it was 1985 and life was a huge game. So maybe it wasn't like, maybe I'm reading too much into it. But when you watch a movie for 12 times in a row, you definitely are reading into things. That's what you do. That's what you want to do. Okay, this one I've been meaning to say, and I think about it every time I hear the guy say it. So they put Marty in the trunk, and the Marvin Berry and the Starlighters open up, and you know, 3D there, Casey Mesko, just boom, no problem throwing out a racial slur, like says it so smoothly, like he says it all the time. But then the other guy says, hey, we don't want to deal with no reefer addicts here. Now, 44-year-old me knows he says reefer addicts, meaning they smoke pot. 9-year-old me, 8-year-old me had no idea what that meant. And for years, I thought the guy said one word, reefer addicts, not reefer addicts, but reefer addicts. And I didn't know what it meant. I thought maybe it was some kind of like you new age punks, or you crazy, like it was like an insult of some kind. Like you're a reefer addict. You know, you're not a fer addict, you're a reefer addict. I just wanted to point out some more of my childhood, when I suffered from childhood dumbness. That's what I just wanted to mention that. I would love to read what Crispin Glover was writing at lunch. Remember, he writes stories, science fiction stories. I feel like he was actually writing it. I feel like he was actually, he probably wrote the whole story. I probably wrote the whole book. But I would love to see what was written on that paper, whether or not he did it or not, whether or not somebody did. The page was pretty full, and I wonder if it was just scratched, you know, nonsense, or if it actually was a story. That'd be cool to see if that prop exists somewhere. And I think the last thing. Oh no, I want to talk about two little things, and this one is specific to acting. So, when Lorraine tracks Marty down at Doc's garage, I love her little bit of nervous acting where she says, Marty, like she wants to call him Marty. She wants to call him Calvin. She's very nervous. She's like, the way she does it, I thought was cute and effective. And I also want to talk about Doc, Christopher Lloyd. You know, a lot of people think of Doc Brown as this big, over-the-top, broad character. But my favorite things that he does in this movie that I've learned over these last, you know, 12 days are these other little things. It's the small acting that that I friggin' love, that shows that he's not just some, you know, big, goofy, you know, broad character. This guy has real emotional connection-driven acting. I don't know what I'm saying, but if you watch the movie and you look for the small moments, like when he's in his garage in 55 and he's watching the videotape, you know, run for Marty, run for Marty. And Marty comes in and he's like, oh, Marty, I didn't see you there. Just like, oh, hey, how you doing? Like the feeling of, you just caught me doing something and I don't want to do it. And he changes the subject really quick. And of course, I love the moment when Lorraine comes in and he's just in the background. That is great too. But also towards the end of the movie, when he's setting up the clock tower stuff with Marty, he's like, I'm really going to miss you. And I can't wait for 30 years to talk to you about this. I'm really going to miss you. But my favorite funny moment is him with the, in the garage with Lorraine and Marty. My favorite little acting moment is right at the end, right before the end, when he drops Marty off at night and before he goes off into the future, he's like, he's in the car. He's like, yeah, 30 years. It's a nice round number. And, you know, Marty says something to him like, you know, watch the reentry. It's a little bumpy. And he's like, you bet. Or I forget exactly. You think I'd know at this point. But the way Doc's like, you bet. Like, you know, I get it. It just was so, oh, I love that line reading. It's nothing. I would, for 30 years, I never noticed it. And now it's just like, you bet. Like this, he's not this wild-eyed character. He comes back the next day after an adventure in the future, and he is bonkers. He probably did some 2015 drugs. You know, well, he had a change of blood. He went through all those medical things so he could add 30 years. Again, another movie. We'll talk about that next March. But this was just some really great acting. The reason I say this is because, you know, if you ever see someone do an impression of Doc Brown, it's always that big over-the-top impression. And it's not this little small stuff that I love the most. But if you ever heard someone do an impression of Doc Brown, they try to go big and over-the-top. And most of them, some of them are pretty good, but there are some impressions of Doc Brown that are just absolutely awful.
It's a Dateline hidden camera investigation no parent will want to miss. This man could be your neighbor. You'll be shocked by who showed up, almost as shocked as they were when Dateline dropped in.
Am I going to jail?
You just
Chris Hansen with a Dateline hidden camera investigation. And now, Dangerous Web. Here is Stone Phillips.
Good evening. Don't talk to strangers. It's a basic rule of safety every parent tells their child. But if there's a computer in your home, it's possible that your children have been talking to strangers. We want to warn you, some of what you're about to see and hear tonight is graphic and explicit. Here's Chris Hansen.
This is a house on an average street in an average town. It could be your town, but there's something very different about this place. A major crime against a teenage boy is possibly being committed here. A crime that happens more often than you'd ever imagine. This grown man is here after meeting a young man on the internet only a few hours earlier.
Come in. Hello? Marty, I'll be right down.
Okay, I'll wait here.
Hi there.
Who are you?
Why don't you have a seat?
Are you Marty's father? What is this?
How do you know Marty?
I don't really know Marty. We started a conversation on the internet.
A conversation on the internet. Are you aware that Marty is 17 years old?
He told me he was 18. Great Scott!
Is Scott someone else you talk to on the internet?
What is the meaning of this?
You claim that Marty said he was 18, but here in these chat transcripts, it says here, I'm 17 years old, and you said, that's the perfect age. Oh. What is it the perfect age for?
He's there to help me with my experiments.
Right, right. You claim to be a doctor, is that right?
Well, yes, I am a doctor. I'm a man of science.
Well, as a man of science, isn't it well known that the adult human brain is not fully matured at the age of 17, and you are talking to and possibly taking advantage of this young man?
Look, if you don't want me hanging around with your son, I completely understand.
Oh, I'm not Marty's father. In fact, Marty doesn't actually exist.
Erased from existence.
Okay, I'm not actually sure what you mean by that, but you're starting to freak me out a bit, too.
What?
And I do this for a living.
Who are you?
My name is Chris Hansen, and I'm doing a piece for NBC's Dateline News about old, white-haired doctors spending too much time with teenage rock star boys.
I am insulted that you would even insinuate such a thing. And I think I'm going to leave now.
You're free to go.
Well, I think I will. Good day, sir.
It was at this point that the man with the terrible impression got up and left the house of the boy he thought he was coming to spend time with, only to be apprehended by Hill Valley Police. For Dateline NBC, I'm Chris Hansen. Like I said, there are some impressions of Doc Brown that are just awful. That's why I would never, ever, ever, ever try to do one. Yeah, I actually had a note that I wrote yesterday that said, Chris Hansen, Dateline, Doc Brown, and I don't know. It's Friday night. Things are crazy. But guess what? I'm done. We did it. We did day 12. Oh, wait, 12th night. Ooh, isn't that some sort of Shakespearean thing? Old Bill Shakespeare? Huh?
Not much of a Bill Shakespeare fan, but I love saying Bill Shakespeare. For some reason, it makes me laugh.
Yeah, that's it. I'm done. So guess what?
You know where to find me? On Twitter and on Instagram. At Geek Mentality. On Facebook, it's simply Fans Not Experts. And the website, of course, is fansnotexperts.com. For me, Mikey C, this is my new accent, which I just developed. I hope you like it. I just went from British to Australian. I'm not going to go anywhere else because I'm afraid I'll be offensive. In fact, I'm sure it will. So now I'm going to leave now and have some Lucky Charms. Am I Irish now? Uh-oh, I've done it and gone offensive. Here is my theme song.
This is my podcast. I made it. Geek Mentality is what I named it. And I think you should listen and subscribe. Because I'm kind of funny and awesome. I think that I'm worth your time. And I'm kind of handsome. My mom says, please listen and please subscribe. At least listen to this episode.
Fans Not Experts.
What are you looking at, butthead?